Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Hello, lovelies, and welcome to another edition of LGBT in the Ring, your rainbow bastion for all things pro wrestling. I am your host, Brian Bell, here with you once again on the Outsports Podcast Network, and we have a bittersweet one in store for everyone today. Obviously, if you pay attention to the Pacific Northwest pro wrestling scene up here, you would have seen the news this week that Without a Cause Wrestling out of Everett, Washington, is closing its doors this Sunday, December 4th, at their what is now their series finale, House of the Dragon. And obviously that there's a lot of reasoning behind that decision from the crew up there, from Max, Dave, and Chris. And luckily we were able to have Max Zaleski, one of the original co-founders of the company, who, you know, recently returned earlier this year to the company for its last like 6 months or so. Also part of the team that helped put together Cascadia up there back in September. And he, you know, he volunteered to sit down and just kind of talk about the process of coming to the decision to end WAC on Sunday. And a lot of the issues, triumphs, bright spots, things they might have done better, missteps that that WAC did along its four-year journey here that ends this weekend. It's a candid conversation about these things, and also a little bit of a celebration of what WAC was and what the final night of WAC will be there up in Everett on Sunday. You know, I personally am bummed to see a bright, awesome company like WAC up here in the Pacific Northwest go by the wayside. I understand the reasons behind it. You know, like nothing can ever last forever in that way. But it does leave a hole in the region a bit, you know, especially considering that it's one of the, if not the only, at least stateside, the only LGBTQ led promotion in the region right now. Obviously up in the Vancouver area, and up in Canada, you have Boom Pro Wrestling and Dusk Pro Wrestling that are killing it in their young existence so far. But down here, WAC is it in terms of LGBTQ leadership of a promotion. And you know, it sucks, but I mean, loss sucks, and it's important to focus on, as Max has said online, like focus on the times we had, the good that came out of WAC and the legacy of what it is. And when, you know, we get into that in our conversation as well. So, yeah, I'm going to be in the building on Sunday, because if WAC is going to go out, I want to be there when it does, because I'm sure it's going to be a banger. yeah, well, let's get to my conversation with Max Zaleski. What's up, guys, gals, and non-binary pals? Welcome back to LGBT in the Ring. I'm very pleased to have as my guest this week someone who's been on the show multiple times, but we've never actually had him on where he is the focal point of the show. Of course, one third of the team behind Cascadia, but most importantly for the timing of this show, one third of the team behind Without a Cause, who is having their final show, their series finale. Please welcome Max Zaleski to the show. How are you doing, Max?
I am doing great. Happy Tuesday, my friend. I hope that you are well.
I am doing well. I am doing good. I hope you are doing just as good, though, considering the week that you have ahead of you.
Yeah, it's, you know, for those of you who haven't heard or, you know, don't follow on socials or whatever, or you randomly skipped the first 30 seconds of the podcast, Without a Cause is leaving the wrestling industry. We are packing it up. We're calling it. We're going out on our back, looking up on the lights. On December 4th, House of the Dragon will be our final show after 36 successful events. We have decided to go ahead and call it quits due to a myriad of reasons, and I'm sure that we'll discuss a few of them here. But we are amongst Dave and Chris and myself, we're ready to go ahead and let Without a Cause kind of go the way of the dinosaurs.
I mean, I will say, whenever I heard the news from you a day or so ago that this is going to be the final show, it took me by surprise. I mean, because y'all were coming off of a, you know, what appeared to be a really fun and successful 4-year anniversary show at year four, headlined by Kida and Max the Impaler. And obviously, you know, Cascadia was a moment there in that building as well. But what were some of the factors that led to this decision? We can get into like your personal like mm-hmm. role in this decision first before we like kind of talk more about where Chris and Dave are at or where all three of y'all are at as a collective. But for you, like what kind of made this decision feel right?
So this isn't the first time that Without a Cause has been on the has been on the ropes. You know, I think every company has these bouts of it's not even like low ticket sales or morale or whatever. It is every company goes through a fundamental shift in their product. And unfortunately, we have done so many shifts that it's no longer feasible to try to stay a path long enough to make things happen. And that's not on any one of us. It is just the nature of the beast, right? Pro wrestling and independent wrestling specifically is you know, you have so many ups and downs. You know, you have the high of the show, and then the next week you are battling the, oh man, okay, so this is what we need to do for the next show. But there's not really enough time to like look back and like reflect on the show that you had. And I personally am tired. Well, okay. So I am tired. You know, I left wrestling. I came back. I told Chris and Dave that, you know, let's give it 6 months. It's been about 6 months. You know, we've ran four shows since I've been back, Cascadia being one of them. And while they're all, you know, extremely successful and everything, the hype and morale is just not there anymore. And we all came to a decision that we all don't know how to fix that. And I don't have the time or energy that I did in 2018 when we started Without a Cause to rebuild in this world of wrestling that we're in. Back in 2018, there were less companies around. There was a lot more hype in Washington about wrestling to begin with. And now that we are not, you know, spending $10,000 a show, or, you know, we never did, but because we're not spending that amount of money, to bring in the 400 or 500 or 600 people, to continue those shows. And because we didn't have a built-in Seattle fan base, I think Everett is just a tad too far for Seattle people to make a night of it. And that's absolutely fine. And we've had discussions about, like, what if we go to Linwood, or which is, you know, between Everett and Seattle, or all that good stuff. But I wanted to build something in Everett. We built something in Everett. I'm very, very happy with where we were, where we've done, and all the shows that we've done, and the hundreds and hundreds of wrestlers, crew, and referees that we've had come through our doors.
When you say the there's been this shift in morale and hype, are you kind of speaking to just like around the company, or in like the talent or the region specifically? Like what do you feel is like contributing to that change in morale from 2018?
COVID. I think I truly think that if COVID was only a thing for a month or two, and companies only lost one or two, you know, one or two shows, that a lot of places would be much, much higher in terms of status. And that is 100% the answer for Without a Cause. You know, we were on a path where we would have needed to find a new venue, because we were Without a Cause. Hausen was 20 tickets away from selling out in March of 2020. Fool's Gold in that April, you know, we had announced the name and the tickets, and we had sold 95 tickets. With the only person being announced was Kylie Rae. So it was getting to the point where we were hitting on all cylinders. Everything was going. And unfortunately, COVID hit. And while our first couple shows back were incredible, I think that socioeconomics aside, people have less money to go and do things. So when they go and do things, they're going to choose a show that's bringing in larger names. And that's completely fine. I would rather go see, you know, John Moxley and everybody versus a show that has, you know, if you are only a wrestling fan and not like a wrestling connoisseur. You know, there's such a big distinction between casual fan, hardcore fan, independent wrestling fan, etc. And I just don't think that the I don't think that the crowds show that delineation. But we've done our fair share of mistakes as well. We've stumbled left and right and all of that. So I'm not blaming anybody. It is just a fact of life.
Well, I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Nobody is ever going to have a perfect record when it comes to these things, you know, especially starting something from the ground up, like y'all did with WAC back then, you know? So that makes total sense. And it's just a matter of like, what mistakes can you weather and how those mistakes play into the environment that you're in. Cause like you mentioned that the kind of Seattle area, the I guess you could consider Tacoma in there as well with SOS, mm-hmm. but like that area of Washington, the wrestling scene has changed a lot since WAC started. Like how would you define that change and how it impacted WAC?
I as much as places like Defy and SOS are having banger shows and everything, I just feel that there is less of a showcase out here than there was pre-COVID. Pre-COVID, the Pacific Northwest was the place to be. Every show was doing gangbusters. Every show was being watched by thousands of people online, in person, etc. Nowadays, you know, you hear, you know, and it's, you know, it's on us too. Like we put out some incredible matches that just didn't draw, and I have no idea why. Matches that we all thought were going to sell out the shows, right? Matches that I would have gone and seen, like Nick Wayne and Alex Shelley, or Alex Shelley and Daniel Maccabe, a match 2.5-3 years in the making. I don't know if we didn't market it correctly. I don't know if it was wrong place, wrong time. I don't know if it was purely because it was after COVID and people were still a little inky. Like, there's a lot of factors, but I can tell you that after August and September last year, when we came back, I felt there was a fundamental shift. And like also from the other shows in the area, I just felt less hype. This isn't to say that the shows are bad. I'm saying that there is, I hear a lot of shows from like the East Coast and the Midwest. And I stopped getting those kinds of messages after COVID, that, oh yeah, hey man, I heard Defy is doing this, or hey, I heard that, I heard that WAC is doing this. That's really, really cool. So I just feel that there was a lot less mouths speaking nice words, or words in general, about the Pacific Northwest.
You feel like maybe the fact that some of those companies got to kind of come back sooner based off of, you know, how the precaution, not to say that the precautions around COVID needed to be lax or anything, because by no means did they. I'm supremely happy with how Oregon and Washington handled that for the most part from a health perspective. But do you feel like the fact that other companies got to come back earlier in the pandemic versus companies in our neck of the woods up here, do you feel like that played into it as well?
I think on a grander scale, for sure. That you have GCW and ICW and all these shows in the Midwest or Texas or Florida, where maybe the laws and the rules and everything weren't as strict, because I don't hear much about California either. So like, and California had pretty strict COVID guidelines as well. So I think that is a pretty big indicator of just how tough COVID was on the Pacific Northwest wrestling scene, and I think West Coast in general. The shows that are running now, you know, they have great shows, but it's definitely not as hyped as it used to be.
Now, earlier you mentioned that like the company has kind of seen these various like fundamental shifts in terms of presentation and product, that sort of thing. What do you mean by that? Like how would you define that for people that maybe, you know, just started watching WAC in like the last year or weren't there for like day one? Mm-hmm. How would you kind of define those shifts?
I always wanted to be bare bones. I am a big fan of minimalism. I am a big fan of what PWG did at Reseda. Hey, if you're not here, you kind of missed out, you know, maybe we'll throw a DVD out or whatever. Historically though, we do book a lot more women than they do, so that was nice. But
yes, agreed.
I think the the shifts in wanting to do more and more and more and more and more and never really letting up or letting something breathe. Whereas we I think that we got too big too quick, and then COVID happened, and then we thought, oh man, let's just get back to where we were and go off of there. And that didn't work. You know, our August show was huge. It was supposed to be bigger. But all, you know, our August 2021 show, our return show with Danhausen and Danny J and all that, it was supposed to be much bigger. And then our September show, you know, we had a great showing. But we didn't have like a Danhausen level, you know, megastar on the show. But not to say that those are bad shows. It's just when you are building, and when you are bringing in talent, the crux of it is you have to make sure that you are confident that your fan base will come to a show with less, you know, with less star power. And we had 25 or 30, 40 fans in the area who have moved away from the area. And those are fans that have always come to the show. So when you lose a third or, you know, a fourth or whatever of your typical gate, it's tough to fill that. That was all after we came back from COVID.
No, I mean, there are a lot of struggles coming out of that period, I feel like, and it does suck that, like, you know, you want to bring in like these bigger names to, you know, have the star power on the show while also like featuring the locals and as well as mm-hmm. the homegrown people coming through Dragonplex on these shows. But it also, and we've had this discussion, you know, off air, I think multiple times about, like, you know, how that colors audience expectation. And was that something that y'all kind of ran headlong into after the comeback?
Yeah. And, you know, one of the big things that I was always a fan of was making sure that we showcased local talent, which, you know, for the longest time wasn't a thing out here. So when we were showcasing, you know, local talent or local talent versus names or from people from outside of the area, I thought that we could have kept it going. And then unfortunately that is right around the same time that I started falling out of love with wrestling. So does it all, you know, does it all stem back from me leaving? I mean, there is a hearty bowl of probably, that the upcoming closure of Without a Cause is partially due to my leaving last year and just never recovering from what that meant. And that's not an ego thing. That is a fact.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question, actually, was like how that decision and that period where you were gone kind of factored into this as well, you know, because, you know, it came as a, in the same way that this announcement came as a shock, it came as a shock last year whenever you said you were, like, whenever you were leaving the company. And then you kind of saw, like, the fanfare that came whenever you came back as well. Like, nothing, like, and this isn't anything with Chris or Dave, like, both solid dudes, solid guys, at the, you know, in leadership roles there. But it just felt like a lot of people saw you as the spirit of WAC in a lot of ways, and whenever you left, like, possibly that could have affected people's view of WAC in a way.
Yeah, and it's no, you know, it's no shock or surprise to anybody that I never wanted it to be that way. I never wanted it to be that I needed to be there for the show to continue. I was, you know, we very rarely did we put myself on shows. I think I was on shows twice in 35 shows, and like in an actual, you know, on screen role, quote unquote. But I think that just the amount of work that I did, and the one who was posting on Twitter or, you know, engaging with the community and all that good stuff, like, that's not Dave and Chris's strong suit. And they completely, you know, they are completely aware of that. And that is why, you know, they originally had asked me to come back. So it is for sure that me coming back was a positive. But I don't know if that was enough to, I don't know if that's that was enough to keep it going. I think that maybe we went a year longer than we had ought to. But ultimately I'm glad that we got through the shows that we did, and brought in the crew of people that we did over the last year and really put some matches on the cards that will be remembered fondly, and the careers that we've helped and the people that we've helped launch and the students that have helped, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I do want to get to that, because like in the wake of this announcement, there's been an outpouring of love and admiration from, you know, talents in the scene, people that, you know, were previously highlighted on WAC, as well as fans. But before we get to that, though, I just have to ask, like, where are Chris and Dave's heads at when it comes to this decision right now? And like, obviously, like, you can't like 100% speak for them, right? But you've had conversations with them around this, so I'm just curious, like, where are their heads at?
It you know, it came pretty quick, honestly, over the last three or four days, because we had got a message from a talent that said that they were in the area for January. And so I saw, you know, I sent them a message, you know, I sent Chris and Dave a message about, hey, this guy shot us a message, he's in town, like, what do we want to do anything? And then we all started talking about, like, oh, well, we might want to like take a month off or whatnot, just to, you know, holiday time shows kind of suck, and the show would have been like early January. So I'm like, I don't know if people want to come back directly to a show a week after January 1st. So, you know, there was a lot of that, but also I think that there's a lot of spinning of the wheels. You know, they've been there for the entire time. And they were there for the shows that drew 40 people. And that's a morale hit. And I'm not saying that this show is drawing bad. I'm saying that I think that they're just like everybody, they get tired. And finally, this is the, you know, this is as good a time as any to wrap it up and start, you know, start thinking about the future. You know, there's work schedules in play. There's real life struggles that are going on and all that good stuff that, you know, once again, nobody cares that if people have struggles or that your schedule, you know, your work schedule goes wrong, because you are providing a product. But if we can't, if we can't live up to the product, then we don't, you know, we don't feel like continuing and putting out, you know, half-assing something that should be whole-assed.
No, I can understand that sentiment. You don't want it to become a shell of the idea that you had at the beginning before you're able to close the book on your own terms in a way.
Right.
All right, Jens, thank you so much for tuning into LGBT in the Ring. We'll get right back into the thick of things, but I do want to take a pause real quick and say thank you to some amazing people that make this show as rad as it is. Starting off with Daniel Quasar, the Progress Pride Flag designed by Daniel Quasar is a product of Progress Initiative. You can find out more at quasar.digital. A big thank you to Sarah and the Safe Word for the show's theme song, Formula 666, off the album Red Hot and Holy. You can find them on Twitter at STSWBand, and you can check out their music on both Spotify and Bandcamp at sarahandthesafeword.bandcamp.com. Check out independentwrestling.tv for the best in current and classic independent pro wrestling, including live events from top independent promotions worldwide. You can use our promo code LGBTRingPod or visit tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT and peruse their entire library over there at independentwrestling.tv. Once again, promo code LGBTRingPod or go to tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT. Check out that service. You can follow the show on Twitter at LGBTRingPod. You can follow me on Twitter at WonderboyOTM. And if you're into video games, definitely check out my video game news show, the Mr. Video Game Super Show. I co-host that with Twitch streamers Slacker Kite and Lady Merowin every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific over on twitch.tv/deadsonentertainment. It's your weekly roundup of gaming news, and it's always a blast. So once again, check that out every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific over at twitch.tv/deadsonentertainment. Sun like the star. We'll be right back with more LGBT in the Ring.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
No, I mean, it checks out. It makes sense. And I would argue, like, to get to, like, the response to the announcement, like, just based off of what I've seen on social media, it feels like WAC really did have a special place in a lot of people's hearts, you know, whether it be talents like your current champion Kida, your former champion Chris Bay, seeing the message from Daniel Makabe, like, not to mention, you know, a number of fans, a number of sponsors.
Alex Shelley, like Eric Alex Stevens, Shelley, yeah. Heather Monroe.
Heather Monroe.
Hundreds of messages of love and support. And, thank you so much, WAC, for doing what no other company would. It goes back to a message that Ricky Starks posted right before COVID hit. He had posted, we've really got to give it up to WAC. These guys are bringing in nobodies, which he was talking about himself at the time. these people are bringing in people that nobody on their coast is knowing and giving them a platform to shine. That is ultimately we always talked about doing the pillars of WAC, and the main pillar was to showcase talent, whether that be local or from afar. And from the response that we've gotten and from messages that I've received personally and all that good stuff, we have done that in spades. This is exactly what we all set out to do. And there's no sadness. There's no second thoughts or anything. It is, we did this. We all love each other. Let's do one more show. Have it go out and be as good as, you know, it's going to be a party. That's what the big thing is going to be. It's, you know, the matches that, you know, the matches that we've announced likely will change. Cause there will be a man. I really wanted to work this guy under the lights. All right. Well, let's see what we can do. So it's just going to be a big, you know, a big party and all that good stuff. And people have asked, like, have you cried? Are you sad? Like, it's sad in a way that I'm not going to be involved with without a cause, but that's because it's not going to exist anymore. And I think that's the end cap to it, is that if it was going to end, I want to be there when it ends.
I mean, I can understand it. I mean, if you build the house, you want to be the one to tear it down, right?
Yeah. And with so many people who've been through our doors, and everything, like, I was talking to Chris Bay last night, you know, we have done so much for so many. And, one of the things that I always tell people who are coming in from out of town, and we take out, you know, we take them out for dinner or lunch or breakfast after the show, and get them to the hotel. And they're like, man, no, very few promoters will do this level of, like, making sure that their talent is taken care of. And I've always said that if it takes an extra 30 or 40 bucks to make sure that everybody has a better time, like, I'm going to do it, period. It was never about making money. It was always about having fun and growing a community. And I think that we've done that.
I would definitely say so, just based off of the response from some fans as well, specifically LGBTQ fans as well. And I saw, you know, whether it be, you know, Anti Collins or Russell Alex, you know, posting about how, you know, WAC felt like a home, WAC felt like a safe space for them within the Washington wrestling scene in a way. And I'm sure there are countless others that felt that way as well. Like, how do messages like that land with you?
I am glad that we have been able to foster a show and a show space that people feel safe. We have, you know, knock on wood, we've only had one instance, and it was at our first show, that needed to have a conversation with the person, and then they were banned from shows. Since then, it has never happened, and will likely not happen. But I would say going 30, 34, 35 shows without a massive issue is pretty positive in terms of problematic issues that would make us feel less inviting or less as a safe space. So those messages are really really heartwarming and really touching. I've known Russell Alex, one of my longest friends on Twitter, for probably 13 years. So knowing that they felt strongly about us and loved coming to our shows and felt like a family out here, that's the biggest compliment that I could even imagine.
Real quick, you know, obviously the promotion is attached to Dragonplex, the school there, and there have been a number of people that have come through Dragonplex and found WAC as a stage to kind of get their first steps into the scene and really develop into people that are traveling now, whether it be, you know, mm-hmm. to Oregon or Las Vegas or different places around the West Coast. Like, who do you see as some of, like, the people that have really come out of that system that have had a chance to shine with WAC and should have more chances, like, going forward in the region?
I think that the names that come to mind are Chris Brady. You know, he came to us already being trained a little bit, coming from Vegas, but you know, he put his nose to the grindstone and really, really came into his own. And now he's pretty much everywhere in Washington, which is nice. And Oregon and heading down to Vegas, I believe. You know, you've got guys like Zeb, who have been wrestling now for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, that are doing real, real, real good. You know, Zeb is not, you know, I don't necessarily think that he would consider himself a Dragonplex guy, but he's trained there now for, you know, X amount of time. So, but then, you know, you've got some of the young, you know, the younger and less known people like Madison, or Mickey Montoya, or 20 Tornado, as he likes to be called, sometimes. So there's a lot of really, really good students that are coming out of Dragonplex, and for the time being, that's not going to change. I think that, you know, the school is going to hang around at least, for the next little bit. But that is a Dave and Chris realm. I have zero pull or push in the school. I just know when people are making their debuts.
No, I think that was a question that kind of surrounded this decision, but that, like you said, that, you know, it's run by Chris and Dave. That's the decision for them to make here. I don't know. Like, it's just, like I said before, like it took me by surprise, but you know, after having conversations with you, like off the air, and now getting the chance to sit down and kind of talk more in depth about some of the stuff, it really does feel like, you know, just reaching that point of finality that all things do.
Yeah, it all things things come to an end, right? And yeah, there's not like a, you know, there's been conversations with like Dave, Chris, and I, like we're going to give a speech at the beginning of the show. I don't think it's going to be to the people. I think it's going to be to the crew. But like, I'm sure there will be people who will want to talk, or, you know, say their goodbyes, or, you know, bang on the mat, or, you know, all those typical things that happen when a show, you know, rides off into the sunset. But I think that the thing that is going to get me the most is, you know, announcing the main event for the last time, seeing Kida come out as our champion, busted belt and all. you know, I've cried twice in wrestling, when in my time with WAC, and one was when I left, and one was when Chris Bay dropped the belt to Kida. Chris Bay looked at me and we, you know, he gave me a nod and he went into the ring, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to lose it right in front of, you know, these 140, 150 fans. So who knows? And like I said, the matches that we've announced, you know, they will change probably. I guarantee that there will be some changes. And I know that we have a couple of surprises, not anything, you know, massive or huge, but they are surprises. And people from WAC history are gonna pop up and be able to give us the goodbye that they so choose. And I think that's probably the best, you know, the best way of going out. It's gonna be a big party. And, you know, everyone's invited. It's not a ploy to sell tickets. It's the money that, you know, the leftover money that we get is getting split up between us. And I will probably be taking, those two out for a nice dinner with that money. Cause we've all lost our money now.
I'm excited to see like what surprises you have there, because like WAC does have a nice list of people who have competed there before, especially like locally that haven't been there in a minute, that, you know, would definitely spark something if you see them coming out of the curtain. And I don't know, like, it's just, I think I've only started going to WAX shows like in like whenever after the comeback, you know, like that was a company, right. Like there was a company that I was aware of and that I wanted to get to pre-pandemic, but you know, I never had the chance. And then once I did get in that building, like there's something special in that building that y'all built, which is another reason why, like, I think I was so ready to partner with you for Cascadia as well, because I knew what kind of environment that building can cultivate if you put the right pieces together in it. And you know, it, like I said before, it is a bummer to see it go, but I'm ready for the party personally. Like, I'm ready to see what y'all have up your sleeve. So much so that I won't even try and pry a match out of you and see what y'all might be cooking up now that is subject to change.
Well, like, the one thing that's been asked online is are we going to split up the contenders versus championships match? And that is something that we are going to do. It will be, you know, Carl Randers and Pitfall Jones in a singles match for the Stallions belt, and then it will be Chris Brady and Kida in the main event for the Without a Cause championship. And you know, don't expect you know, someone like Chris Bay to come out. That's just not going to happen.
Well, I mean, he's still in Japan right now.
it'd be a hell of a trick, though.
It would.
But you know, those types of things. You know, there was talks of, why don't we take January, February off and do a big blow off in March, like the finality, right? And I think that we came to the conclusion that we're just going to delay the inevitable, and I don't want to keep it limping along, right? It doesn't feel good to me. I think that ripping the Band-Aid off and getting it over with, as much as it's going to be fun, I think it's going to be a nice little bit of closure for some people, for sure.
Well, once you are announcing that final main event and they have that final bell at the end of things, and you know, WAC leaves the neon behind, what do you feel like, or what would you want the legacy of WAC to be for the people that, you know, showed y'all so much love and attended so many of your shows?
The people that we have helped build, the people who are now on TV or have contracts, or you know, that we became friends with. You know, Chris Bay is a friend. You know, people like Nick Wayne. We gave that kid his first real go. You know, things like getting the Strays over, and them being the slew of matches that them and 4 Minutes of Heat had, or Midnight Heat as they're called now. You know, those were legendary. The match between Chris Bay and Hammerstone at Year One is literally talked about still talked about as one of the best matches that Washington State has ever seen. Like, that match continues to get YouTube hits. It's bananas. We have, you know, we surprised people with Jeff Cobb. Who does that? What level of promotion doesn't announce a talent the level of Jeff Cobb? And we were like, no, let's keep it wild, right? Or the return of Daniel Makabe in September last year, against the debuting Cabana Man Dan. You know, these things, the surprises, the shock and awe, the Chris Bay never said it was going to be for the title, so everybody fucking hated him, right? like those moments, the moments where you can look back and say, oh yeah, we got him good. Those are the moments that will continue on. But I think that the people the people who have come through our doors will keep the WAC banner flying. But I don't want anybody to get it mixed. You know, this is it. We are done. And that doesn't mean that I am done. There's some really cool stuff that I am going to be a part of coming up, and I am really, really excited about it. I don't know where Chris and Dave is going to go or do, but you know, I've seen them at least once a month now for the last 4 years, and we talk every single day, and that's not going to change. Those two are my brothers, and I love them dearly. But there's going to be some tears on Sunday. I bet it's, but it's not sad. It's like the thing that you know that you're going to grieve, but like you're fine with it. I think that's kind of where my thought process is.
No, I can understand it, you know? And I'm happy to hear that, you know, you're going to be sticking around in some capacity in some way in the wrestling world too. Because, you know, you, Chris and Dave, all, like, I don't know, from an outside perspective, looking in, all three of you still have something to contribute there, you know? And like you said, like, I don't know what, all three of y'all are going to end up doing post WAC here, but you know, Chris and Dave have been having their best year as a tag team down here in Oregon, I think, this year at DOA. Yep. And like, you know, I think the team that we built with Cascadia, with you, me, and Milhouse was really great. And I don't know, like, I'm excited for all of you to kind of start something new in a way as well. Yeah. As sad as it is that WAC is ending, like, sometimes you have to like close one chapter to begin something completely new and grow from that as well.
Yeah. I mean, and I've done it, you know, I've done it once before. I left 3-2-1 to create Without a Cause. And that was, you know, that was my decision, and I would not trade that for the world. As much love for as much money and tears and effort and late nights and hours and hours and hours and hours of logistics and worry and anxiety that Without a Cause has brought me, it has given me back tenfold. The community, friendships, love, support, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And it's, you know, it's, I thought it was going to hit harder yesterday, but I think like this morning when I woke up and I saw that people were still, you know, still reacting to the announcement, I think that was like the bigger thing. I was like, oh man, this, people loved us, which is, you know, real nice. But I would like to take a second and tell everybody to give people their flowers now.
Yes.
Or companies, or things, matches, things that you love, especially in wrestling, when things can change in a heartbeat. Sorry, in a heartbeat. You know, people get injured, they fade away because they have to. You know, I know tons of wrestlers who need, they'll never say it, but they need that little pick me up. Oh man, hey, that match that you had a couple weeks ago, like, that was really, really good, and I really appreciated what you two did out there. Or hey man, your entrance is sick right now. That's really, really cool. You know, just the little bit of upbeat, and the teeny tiny compliments can make everybody's day. And I think if we do that a little bit more often, I think that a lot of people will stick around a little bit longer, and stick it out and provide more to the craft that we all love.
No, you're spot on, honestly. Like, that stuff is invaluable and needs to be said more often. I do also, we can kind of wind down here, but I do have to say that I like that the fact that that WAC is closing and all the emotion around it was able to suspend the feud over pineapple on pizza between you and Ashton Starr for at least one day.
For one day, but that day is over. Ashton Starr, I'm coming for you. I can't believe it. This is nonsense. If I get to the venue on Sunday and somebody has ordered a pineapple pizza, I might just cancel the show.
Oh, I mean, you better hope Ashton's not listening, because he is petty enough. I love Ashton. He's petty enough to do it.
That is true. But he's going to ask me to pay for it.
Well, that's true.
No, he's going to ask Matt Griffin from Action Wrestling to do it.
Sponsor the pizza order.
Son of a bitch.
We're just throwing out all kinds of bad ideas here.
Terrible ideas.
Yes. No. Well, Max, I appreciate you coming on the show and kind of talking through this, big surprise announcement. I'm going to be in the building for the party, because this is a can't miss thing. You said the show's not going to be on IWTV as previously planned, correct?
It's not going to be on IWTV. It might not even be filmed. Without Cause started not being filmed, and it would make sense for it to end not being filmed, but there will be enough cameras in the house that I'm sure that moments will be caught for sure.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt about that. I mean, who isn't going to try and document this final night on their phone, or, I mean, soon to get some good pics. So,
yep, that's true.
Yeah. Well, Max, let everybody know where they can find you online and where they can snag tickets to the series finale here.
Yeah. Follow me everywhere at Max in the PNW. That is Max in the Pacific Northwest PNW. I am on everywhere: Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can add me on Facebook. I accept all people. And then wrestling, hey, if you want to come to the show on Sunday, you absolutely can. Go to the Without a Cause WA, that is Without a Cause Washington, Without a Cause WA on Twitter or Instagram. Our links are there. We are posting match graphics and all that good stuff, but, card subject to change. It's going to be a hell of a show on Sunday. And, whether it's 70 people or 170 people, it's going to be one of the biggest shows that we've ever done.
I look forward to it. Thanks again, Max.
Thank you.
A big thank you to Max once again for taking the time to sit down and discuss, the end of a big part of his life, even though it was a short time span. Just four years sounds short and also exorbitant at the same time, depending on where your perspective is or where your level of interaction is with certain things. But like I said before, it sucks that we're going to see WAC go, but we're going to celebrate it on Sunday. That is for damn sure. And I think that's the best place to leave this for today. If you're in the building up in Everett under the neon on Sunday, I'll be there. If you see me, say hi. I'm always up for chatting a little bit, even if I am a little bit awkward socially. So fair warning. But way beyond me, Sunday is WAC Day, and we're going to send it out proper. For this show, though, we will see you next week. But until then, y'all stay messy, wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaccinated and boosted if at all possible, and always remember, without a cause. Bye! Everybody's ready to die.
asking me to deal with the demon, so I love it.